Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt. Today, I am fangirling so hard. And I know you guys are like, Amy Lee, every guest you have, you say something about how awesome they are. But like, if I was only allowed to put like three people of all time in a bucket of like my top favorite people, it would be literally this girl right here. Like, she is unreal. The things that I have learned about money blocks and about the way that the relationship that I have to money, it's like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. She's the best-selling author of Sexy Money, and she's helped people all over the world, including me, because I live in the world, ditch scarcity, get rich, and do it all while yay, lifing. She believes more is always available to you. Life gets to be good, and the universe wants to support you. I am so incredibly honored to bring to you Miss Genevieve Rackham.
You're listening to The Magnetic Goddess, a podcast for women who are ready to step into their power and live their best lives. I'm your host, Amy Lee Westervelt, and I'm here to guide and inspire you to take the journey back to your higher self. We'll talk about everything from personal development to career growth to relationships. We'll share tips, tools, and strategies that will help you become the most confident, successful, and magnetic version of yourself. We'll also talk to inspiring women who have already achieved their dreams and are living their best lives. We'll learn from their stories and discover what it takes to create a life that is truly fulfilling. I believe that every woman has the potential to be a magnetic goddess. She has the power to attract anything she wants in life, and she can create her birthright of abundance. I'm here to help you tap into that inner goddess and live your best life. I'm so excited to have you on this journey with me. Let's start living our best lives together as magnetic goddesses.
Genevieve, welcome to the show.
You're so sweet. Like, you, best intro ever.
Yeah, it's from my radio days in college. Thank you so much for being here. You're incredible.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to this.
I know, me too. I remember when you were like, not even on maternity leave yet. And you're like, okay, so this is what we're doing after the thing I haven't even done is over.
Yeah, I was like, I think 10 a.m. sounds good to me. I don't know. We'll see what my life is like.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. Okay. So normally I ask the question of like, how did you get to do the thing that you're doing? And like, why didn't you go into like a conventional job? And I know a lot of that story, a lot of it's in your best-selling book, which I hopefully my niece is downloading right now and like binging because it's amazing. Oh yeah. My niece is in the studio today. For those of you who are wondering who I'm talking to. And so what I want to know first though, is like, when did you feel you were like ready to speak about this from a leadership perspective, about the concept of keeping and holding and having money and all that?
Yeah, well, at first I wasn't speaking to it like that, you know, like, and I wasn't trying to, like, I was just speaking about it, you know, like I was just talking about, it was literally just kind of like, here's what I'm doing. And here's what I'm doing. It's working, you know, and I was just sharing it. It was literally like, I was just processing it out loud. And then as I was processing it out loud, people were doing it with me and they're like, this is working for me too. Go on, you know? And then it just, I don't know. It just kind of happened. Like, I don't know if there was a day where it just kind of like switched, but it was never, I never started it that way.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I didn't feel I had leadership on money. Hence why I pursued it so heavily at first, right? From like a perspective of trying to learn as much about it as possible. And like before I did money work, I did psychic and intuitive readings. And that's what I did for a living. My mom's a psychic medium. I did psychic medium work. My sister and I did that. And it felt very similar for anyone who has like does anything like intuitive. Like my process around that was like, when I would do readings is like, I would tune into people's energy and like, I would start to like receive information, feel things, like know things, whatever. And when I started to get curious about money, I realized I could tune into the energy of money. And so I was like, there was like these gaps that I was noticing and experiencing. And there was these ideas where I was like, oh, that's not how money feels when I tune into the energy of money. Like when I think about the idea of money that I have, and I'm like, that feels flawed. right? It's like if someone told me, like, your name is Bob, and I'd be like, no, it's not, it's Genevieve. And I'm like, oh, there's that gap. You know what I mean? I've been living my whole life thinking you were Bob, right? And so it was just like those little gaps that I started to clean up for myself. And then I was just talking about it out loud. And I was like, this isn't supposed to be that hard, you know, like in it, just different conversations. And I began practicing what I was feeling and like what I was essentially like intuiting, right? And it worked, and it worked really well, you know, and it was a different experience with money. And then from there, like there was just like an innate truth that I was speaking to. Because I think when people speak to truth, like you just feel it, right? And it's just like, yeah, this resonates, right? But like some part of me, like deeper down, agrees with you, right? And as I was sharing my process and experience out loud, I think people were having that experience. And then people were wanting to work with me, and people were asking me how they could work with me on that. And I was like, are you sure you want to work with me? Like, are you sure? You know? And then I was like, okay. And I was like, I'll do it with you. And I didn't see it as that. I didn't see it as like, yes, me, the experts, I've got you. You can pay me, you know, I didn't see it like that. And then I just kept doing it. And then it was like working for me. And then it was working for these people who wanted to hire me. And then I was like, okay, okay. I guess I know what I'm doing, kind of.
That's so interesting. I don't think, I mean, I guess I knew that you were intuitive, but I don't think I knew that your mom was like a psychic or any of that. Did you put that in the book? Cause I don't remember. I remember you reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I don't remember anything. It's interesting because I'm intuitive too, but yeah. I never actually tapped into the soul of money. I think my thing is more like the sacred masculine. So like the provider energy of the universe, definitely, but I never looked at it as money specifically. So that's really interesting to hear that. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, it was definitely a thing. And I was like, because it's like the energy of money, the energy of abundance. To just kind of like how it's supposed to be, how it's meant to be, how it wants to be is kind of how it felt. And then it was just kind of like following the breadcrumbs a little bit. It was like a game of hot and cold. I was like, is it like this? No. That's a distortion pattern with the truth of money. It's this scarcity thing that you're buying into, Genevieve. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense. Go on.
Genevieve Barbie's coming out soon, you guys. It's fine. Okay, so I have like so many things I could ask you right now. Okay, so moving from the intuitive world to the business world, right? Like obviously we know there's a lot of crossover there, but like how did you like make it so that you could be more seen and more absorbed by maybe less of the woo crowd? Like how did you not mute that, but I noticed that that doesn't come through as strongly in your content. Like it's very much more business oriented. Like how did you kind of like slowly wean yourself off of the woo in that way?
I didn't know I did wean myself off of the woo. I feel very woo.
Well, I mean, in terms of like, in your content online and stuff, like you talk very much about business, right? And like the energetics of business versus like the energetics of the person. So when you were doing readings, it was more about reading the person. So right. I guess what I want to know is like, how did you like make peace with yourself that you're like, okay, I'm going in this direction. This is going to bring a more concrete kind of a clientele versus the people that just want to hear me talk about like what's going on in the stars or whatever. Does that make sense?
Or like what's going on with them, right? And that was kind of the thing at first, right? Where it was like, I started to get kind of frustrated doing those readings because it felt like people were just like, tell me when this, tell me if that. And I was like, this feels so not fulfilling and also kind of frustrating. And I just wanted to take it in a more constructive direction. And I found that not everyone wanted to do that, which is fair enough. That may not be why you work with a psychic, right? And, but I was just like, it started to drain my energy at a point. And like, you know, I used to do house clearings as well. And like just all of those things, I was like, this is draining my energy so much. It's starting to feel like a no. And so there was just kind of like that innate moment, which I'm sure a lot of us have had in some way, shape or form, where it's like, I just couldn't do it anymore, you know? And it wasn't because I hated it and it wasn't because it was terrible or people were terrible or anything like that. It was just like, it stopped feeling aligned. And as a result of that, it just started to feel kind of draining and lacking fulfillment. And then also I knew, like I had this moment where I was like, my only plan was like to make six figures. You know what I mean? Like that's what I was really trying to do, because I was like, oh my God, if you make six figures, you're rich, right? So I remember, like, I had one friend and I went to her house growing up, and it was like a nice ass house in the middle, like, of Iowa. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, how much money do your parents make? And she's like, oh, like six figures. And I was like, what? Right. And I was like, that's so much money. And, you know, and I was like, in this beautiful house they can have. And I was like, that's all I ever like aimed for, you know? And then I had this moment when I was doing these readings and I was like, let me just do some math real quick. And, doing what I'm doing, equaling six figures, what would that look like? And it was like doing a reading every day, like all day, and no days off. And I was like, what if I want kids? And I was like, what if I get sick? And I was like, what if I just want to take time off? And I was like, it's not in the cards doing this, like at this level.
I love it.
I was like, I just can't, you know?
The pendulum says no.
Yeah, pretty much. And so there was kind of like this like joint energy of like for me and like for the work I wanted to facilitate, it just wasn't going to work anymore. And then plus how I was feeling, just like that draining energy, like it just stopped feeling aligned. And so I just started to like own this perspective of like being constructive around it and like owning your experience in life, you know? And sharing my process and journey around it, because I kind of, you know, I was doing that to a point with like personal development, like already online and like you as a person and, you know, facets and aspects of that, but I wasn't talking about money or business. But you know, my sister and I had like certain business people like hire us and they're like, what's your feeling about this business deal? Like, what do you think about that? You know? And that was as far as it went, you know? But yeah, I just like got to this point where I wanted something constructive, you know, with people. And I noticed at a point too, when I was working with people, there was kind of like the one-off session vibe. It was like people would, if they did want that constructive feedback kind of an energy, or they wanted to like work on something or build something together, after one session, it was like they would regress because there was a lack of like container, you know? And so it's like, they would be inspired, like have the energy, whatever. And then it's like, it wouldn't be substantial change afterwards. It wouldn't be sustainable. And I was like, why? And that was really frustrating for me. And so there was like all of these little pieces put together was time to switch to packages. And I did intuitive life coaching at first, you know? And then that was kind of like me changing the energy of like, okay, I'm not a psychic anymore. Like I'm obviously am still, but I'm like, I'm changing how I market myself.
I was like, you can't really turn that off, but yeah.
right. And I was like, I'm changing how I market myself so that it's aligned. Right. And so that I'm satisfied and fulfilled and people are coming to me from a constructive place. And so then people were coming to me with all these different things, like relationship stuff, life stuff, whatever. And then simultaneously, like I was growing and working on myself, and like money was like a big wound for me. And that's what I started with.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I really resonate with what you said about, you know, that feeling of like, okay, they come to you for answers. And then it's like, okay, thanks. It's almost like there's a consumerism of your energy that feels really icky, right? Like, it's like, they come to you, they want to know, is this guy coming back? Is he going to leave his wife? Is this going to happen? And then it's like, okay, thanks, bye. And it's like, if it's the good thing, then they keep asking, okay, but tell me like how that is, like, tell me what shirt he's going to be wearing. And like, what are the letters going to be on the, and it's like, oh my gosh, like I've literally answered this question so many ways already. And, mm-hmm. and you don't get that like good feeling at the end. Cause all you're doing is sharing something that, you know, they don't know, but you also like, you don't know what it's like not to know it. And so it doesn't really feel like anything. So I resonate with that so much. Like, so the way that you were able to transition is like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's be invested in the container and let's talk about all the facets of it and where, how we got there and where we're going. And that's like a really powerful way to kind of like frame that. So thank you for sharing that from your background, because I didn't know that.
Yeah, definitely. It felt like someone be like the example you gave, like, is he coming back? And I'd be like, wait, why do you want him to come back? Why is this a question you're asking? Like,
I don't want to know that.
Yeah. That's the conversation I wanted to have. And I was like, well, it's not fair to kind of like spin this around on people and be like, wait a minute, let's have a different conversation than the one you've paid me wanting. And so I was like, this isn't going to work. This needs to change. And, the mostly satisfaction I was getting was from like when I would do like medium work and I could like support people in like having like transition and closure around that. But even that, like, it took so much energy. And I was just like, I'm not like, I can do this and I'm good at this, but it took so much energy and was so draining. And I was like, I just don't think I'm supposed to do this. Like, I feel like my life is supposed to feel like lighter, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that as well. So Sexy Money, the book, the New York Times best-selling book that you
Wall
wrote.
Street Journal.
What?
At Wall Street Journal and USA Today, not New York Times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Wall Street Journal. Still. The Wall Street Journal is literally like the ultimate money periodical, right? Is it not? I would say it is. How, tell me that process. Like, you're just one day we're like, you know what? I'm going to write a book.
Well, I was planning to write a book, but I wasn't planning to write a book that soon, to be honest. Like, I wasn't, because it was a very inconvenient time to write a book for me, to be honest. Like, I was like, okay. It was like lingering around me. Like, and then the moment I was like, okay, I'll write a book next year. It was like, you said, okay, I'm writing a book. It's coming. And it was like immediately, I swear to God, like the second I was like, okay, I'll write a book, which I always planned to, but it was like the acceptance of it and then starting to plan when I was going to write it. Cause I was getting married that year. I was traveling a lot. Like I didn't feel like I had the fucking time to write a book, to be honest. And like to really like put in the time and energy that I wanted to. And there was just a lot going on, you know? And the whole process of like, I didn't know shit about writing a book, publishing a book, you know, like the whole process. And, you know, you have to do all of it. You know what I mean? And I think unless you work with like a big publishing house, obviously there's so many decisions to make, like self-publish, publish through a publishing company, like whatever. But I was like, you literally have to make everything. Like I literally designed every part of that book, the cover, the little page on the inside, the chapters, you know? And I know some people are like typos and I'm like, yeah, just read the book.
I am a stickler when it comes to typos and Kindle books. Cause let's be real. I read a lot of smut and there's a lot of it that has really bad typos, but to be fair, I didn't really see any of yours. I know that's been something that people have said, but I just, so you know, I look for that shit and I didn't notice them. So I must've just loved it that much.
Well, I appreciate it, but I'm just like, yeah, read the book, whatever. But no, I can appreciate the feedback, but I was like, there's a lot that goes into it. And I just didn't feel like I had the time. Like I was really focused on getting married that year, you know, in the process of like planning a wedding, and we did a destination wedding and like traveling and all the things. Right. But like literally the moment I was like, okay, I'll write a book next year. Like literally within moments, I started to get like the first chapter coming through and I was like, well, I can't just not, you know, it was like I was struck by lightning. It was like, I can't, it's undeniable. I have to write this, right? I have to start. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just write this like first chapter, or like, I'll start writing it, whatever. And then it was like, again. And I was like, well, I guess I'm writing a book now. And then I was like, I guess I'll look into this. Let me ask my friends who have written books so I'd understand what the hell is going on and how to do any of this, right? And I just kind of started it like that. And then there was, I don't know, like I feel like for my first book, it was, which is Sexy Money. I don't have any other books out yet, but I do plan on writing more. But for my first book, I remember I just wanted something just light and easy. You know, and just like, I felt like, what's that book? Maybe it's like Think and Grow Rich or something like that. Or it's The Science of Getting Rich. It's just like a really short little book. And I always loved that. Like, I loved just like easy, short, like I can read this in a day type of books. And I just wanted it to be like that. I wanted it to be small, easy, digestible, potent, powerful, something you can keep in your back pocket or keep in your purse. Right. And so, yeah, I just wrote that book.
Well, I love that book and I tell everyone to read it. And I think people get like, I think they think it's obnoxious sometimes how often I tell people to read it. Like I'm known as the girl that tells people to read your book. Like anytime there's a money block or anything, I'm like, you know what you need? And they're like, have you actually gotten any results from this? And I'm like, well, actually, yes, I have. So here they all are. And then they back the fuck off. So there you go.
You're hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's dig into this money block stuff a little bit, because I think that's really kind of like what you're the queen of, right? The queen of like crushing the money blocks and stuff. And so when it comes to women in business, What do you think, like, if you were to just be like, okay, this is like the top thing that like I see the most, what do you think is the biggest block for a woman who's trying to build a six or a seven figure business and is finding that it's evading her? Like, she's signing up for all the coaching, she's doing all the things. Like, what do you think, if you were like psychically guessing, like, what's the one thing that she probably has a block around?
Well, to be honest, there's, it's so,
like, I'm not answering that question.
I mean, it's so individual, you know, and that's why sometimes I'm like, just let me have a conversation with you. I'll figure it out. I'll find it. Right. Let me get in there. That's kind of how I feel. But I mean, you know, and I understand the temptation to have an answer to a question like that, because it really is like, there's a simplicity in it. Right. And
but like, what could be one, like, let's just like pick so that somebody out there could identify with, like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that was a thing.
Well, I mean, to be honest, it's all like, it boils down to, in some way, shape, or form, people are outside or outsourcing their sense of self, their power, their security, their worth, whatever, their sense of value, like, to money. Like, there's something about like money is leading them, right? Instead of them leading, like when it comes to business specifically and in particular, you know, I work with people who like, you know, like their businesses or want to like their businesses. They're doing work that they care about that matters to them typically, right? And so, or at least that's where they started. And so there's a level of like honoring a sense of alignment and allowing money to participate in that and be like a part of that, right? Money to come with, instead of it being about money or money leading, you know? And so it's like, it typically in some way, shape, or form, if there's a lack of growth and it's evading them and they're doing all the things, they're implementing all the strategies, it's because like there's something in the driver's seat that shouldn't be there. And it's typically money. Like, money doesn't want to fucking own your life. That's a distortion pattern of money, right? And so many people practice business like that. And, you know, the people that I work with and support in business are looking for a fundamental alignment that they want to live, right? Mm-hmm. Hence Yay Life, right? Yay Life is like, where you're just like, like things are just feeling good. I'm good. Like I'm happy. Things are working and I'm satisfied. I'm fulfilled. I'm doing work that matters, that I care about in some way, shape, or form. You know, there's an impact, whether it's like, ooh, like my bags, like people are really loving my bags and like it's adding like a beauty and an art into the world, or it's like my services are being helpful or like whatever the fuck. Right. And, oh yeah, I assume I can cuss, right?
Of course you can.
All right. I like to, and I'm like, we've done this before in private, but I just like to make sure. Okay.
No, my niece is laughing. I just think it's funny because I'm like, this is Genevieve. This is just who she is. I love her. Or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. I'm just a weird mad scientist. The hair fits it today too. But anyways.
I know. Yeah. It's going to be like, my next question is, how do you pull off bangs?
Yeah, it's definitely a job. It's another job that I've taken on as well as becoming a parent. It was the timing of it. But but basically there's a lack of alignment, you know, and that's something that I've seen where it's like there's a fundamental misalignment. So there's something at the core that is off, right? Mm-hmm. And so people try to overcompensate for this lack of fundamental misalignment. And they're like, let me do this strategy, let me, you know, work more, try harder, lower my rates, overcompensate. And it's like, you can't, like, you might get these little short things that work or whatever, but it's just not going to work. It's not going to last. It's not going to last as long. It's going to suck. You're going to hate it. Like, there's just going to be like, it's just not going to be the vibe. Right. And so, you know, at the forefront of my work, and I was talking about this in the money game yesterday, where it's like, if someone were to ask me, it was either yesterday or the day before, sometimes I can't remember, but I was like, if someone were to ask me what my biggest thing was, my biggest change when it came to money, it was like, money doesn't have power over me at all anymore, you know, in its presence or in its absence, because the conversation we were having yesterday was like, how to get over your fear of loss with money. And so like a lot of people can kind of like hesitate making a lot of money because there's like a sense of like fearing that, like, what if I could lose it? What if I'm irresponsible? Like, you know, when you actually sit down to vibe into the fact of like you being a millionaire, you having, you know, a lot of money in the bank, like you making a lot of money regularly and consistently, like, how does that feel in your body? Like, money is a very somatic experience if we want to create ease, if we want alignment, right? And so, you know, sometimes it's like, if you're on trajectory, like imagine like it's making a lot of money for you isn't just an idea and it's not just a dream, but like you're literally on trajectory. the business is built and it's starting to add up. And then that's when people go, and there's like that subtle hesitation, right? And oftentimes it's like that, what if, right? Like, what if I make it all and then I didn't deserve it? Like, what if I'm not good enough? Like, what if I can't hold it? What if I'm irresponsible? And like your wounding comes up in those moments, right? And so when, you know, that fear of loss is present, for example, and what it kind of points to, it's like it registers as like a pain in the body. And so we are wired to avoid pain and seek pleasure, but more so avoid pain at the highest cost, right? Like that's the most important thing, as survival mechanisms, like our brains, right? And so we avoid things that are painful and we avoid things that feel risky typically. And so like having a lot of money can feel really scary in the body, right? It can feel unsafe. And so we have a lot of patterns and things around that. But my whole point is when you have an experience where you lead money, where money doesn't have power over you in its absence or in its presence, you are in your power. And then as a result, you can sustain an energy, you can sustain a sense of security, a sense of self, a sense of your values, a sense of alignment. And then like you can make as much money as you fucking want, right? As is available, as is helpful, as is aligned, like as you desire to, right? Because money won't have power over you. Money doesn't have the power to sway you out of your values, to sway you out of your alignment, to sway you out of your sense of self, like whatever it is, right? And that's what we see like in business is like, if something's not working some way, shape or form somewhere along the way, typically money swayed you in some way. Right. And so it's like, because you're lacking a fundamental sense of being in your own power, like a sovereign self. Right. And, so you can't lead money. And so you can't hold money because money is a byproduct energy. And that's kind of what I talk about it. Like money at its core, like, is like you point Genevieve and I'll tell me where to go. But if you're like money, what do I do for you? Then money's leading you. And then you're just going to like be in a hell loop pattern, right? A reactionary pattern, a familiarity pattern with money. Right. And so it's about like, what do I believe about money? What has been my experience up until now with money? What has been my trauma, my wounding with money? And then that's what you're going to cycle in and loop around and just recreate again and again and again in some way, shape or form. But when you lead money, then money, it operates in its truthful experience, its aligned experience, and then you can experience money as its truthful experience, which is abundance, right? Like money flows, money is within the energy of abundance. Money is in abundance, but money isn't within abundance. Does that make sense? And yeah. So then you begin to experience money in abundance when you are in your power, essentially.
Well, that was the next book right there, guys. So I hope that you took it all in. No. So speaking of, you know, you mentioned you kind of peppered in Yay Life. You talked about the Money Game membership. You talked about, I don't think you talked about the Cash Conviction Challenge, but I would love to know, well, I mean, I know, but like tell these guys like that are foaming at the mouth to get into your world. Like what are some ways that they can tiptoe into the world of Genevieve and start to really, you know, address these money alchemy issues that they need to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason why, so that's why I created the Money Game membership and it's a 6-month commitment minimum, which I know not everyone vibes with, or it may not be aligned for everyone.
Initially, I don't. I need it to be like a 6-year commitment.
But I'm like, it needs to be 6 months at least. Like when I'm doing work with people, I'm like, if we want to, like, I'm just not interested in like this, like fast turnaround, like shiny, here's this thing, ooh, right? Like that can be, you know, potentially very marketable, right? But I'm just like, this 6-month commitment really like honors the experience of, you know, the person and their relationship to money, I feel like. And I'm like, it needs to be at least 6 months. I've actually thought about changing it to a year, but I'm like, 6 months is fine. But yeah, the Money Game membership is why I created that. I have like little ways where you can kind of taste test the energy, which like the Cash Conviction Challenge is that. It's like $55, right?
But it's for you guys. And then she gets you. And then you're like mainlining Genevieve at all hours of the night. It's fine.
But it's like, it's a context, right? So it's not just like, here's like the whole thing. Cause it's like, you couldn't do that. Like it's the whole thing is not a process. It's an experience and it's a relationship. And hence the 6 months process or timeline minimum inside the Money Game membership. But the cash conviction challenge is like a snapshot of this energy of like, here's a focused intention. And, you know, two energies I really like to play with money that I found to be really helpful and impactful for people is like, one, there's like a intentional energy, and that's what the cash conviction challenge is. And it's like, essentially, like, here's how you focus your energy forward. And here's how you get into alignment, in particular with making like a financial goal. Like, here's how you show yourself that you're capable. Here's how you show yourself that you can make the money that you want. Right. And like, that's that challenge. And then I have another one that's more of like a quantum energy with money, where it's like non-limitation, like true abundance, like about energy solely and alignment that's coming.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. Sounds like something you would want to get into Yay Life for. I'm just, maybe.
It's included in the money game as well.
Ooh, that sounds amazing. Oh my gosh, Genevieve, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for being on the show. My head is spinning, which it always is after you talk, but I mean, just even more, and just hearing these things, you know, as a second party, right? Like knowing some of them and then hearing them again, like from a different side, is really interesting to me. So before you go, I have one question for you, which is, what do you feel like makes you a magnetic goddess?
Oh, such a nice question. I feel like my prioritization of living my life in alignment and keeping my heart wide the fuck open to life.
Yeah. And I have to say, I do see her do that every single day. If you guys don't follow her on Instagram, she's a whole vibe. Seriously. Like, it's so fun. Like, one day it's like you're getting like major like money vibes, and then the next day she's talking about like nursing and like what it's like to, you know, do both things at the same time. And she's like in her like mama bear energy. It's so fun. I'm so here for it.
May or may not have things over my breasts right now that you can't see in camera view. Nursing vibes.
Yeah, well, I mean, after having 5 kids of my own, like, you're not ever gonna freak me out. So
maybe not. You can't see, but it's just up to wonder about.
I will use my imagination if I feel the need. Thank you so much for being here, Genevieve. This has been amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. You guys, that'll do it for this episode of the Magnetic Goddess Podcast. Until next time, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, and may you be at peace. Namaste.